they're placing in worshiping the Lord. This guy's not really a youth. But we believe in the spirit of adoption. Is that good? Cool. Yeah. Josiah's family is standing on faith. This dude is here every Wednesday. Except, like, if they go to Disneyland, it's like, okay, well, you gotta understand, that's the happiest place on earth. So until I get to heaven, that's the happiest place on earth. So I, you know, other than Disneyland, Josiah's right here. Mom, can you drop me off? Dad, can you drop me off? Joel, can you drop me off? Joseph, can you drop me off? Moral of the story is, yes, we all need licenses and cars. That would be great. So we're going to put a bucket for car. No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing that. I'm just kidding. No, don't give any money for cars unless the Lord tells you, and I'll tell you what kind. A Porsche Panamera. I think that was the last conference we talked about a Porsche Panamera. All right. So it's just, and this is my brother in the fishbowl. Because I can have a need, and I can go, hey, what are you doing right now? Can you come play drums real quick? Just real quick. It's just real quick. Yeah, bring all the kids. They can do their homework at church. That's good. Tell them to close their eyes when it's time for bed. It'll be cool. Yeah. So I just thank everyone up here. Thank you, guys. Okay, now you can go. Can I come down there? Oh, lights. Okay, lights. Right to the internet. Because of you, I'm going to be right here. All right. Okay, so let me just tell you where my heart is and what God was speaking to me about and why I would rather come down there. But I'm going to stay up here because it makes sense. So I just want you to receive this because in prayer, God is just showing me it's eye level. We're all eye level. There's no one that comes up here. They just happen to need to see the tops of your head. That's the only reason, and because of the lighting. But we are eye level. We're brothers. We're sisters. So when we speak to each other, there's not this hierarchy. There's not a, wow, he's really in the spirit because he spoke on that mic one time. No, I would like to be in the spirit all the time, but that's not the case, you know, like, but it's just so important, like God was really showing me, let's just talk. Let's not go, okay, I'm going to position myself, I'm going to be an educator today. Well, am I preaching today or am I teaching today? Okay, well, what title do I have? Am I prophesying? Am I coming up as a prophet? I'm just coming up as me. And every time that we give a word to someone, every time we just share the gospel or share our hearts, you're just you. It doesn't have to be, oh man, this is ministry time, so let me. All right. What are you, born in a barn? That's my brother. He wasn't born in a barn. I didn't plan to be funny at all today, actually. It was just, actually, yesterday was slightly chaotic with a lot of warfare and a lot of just like force to try to do what I naturally do all the time. And now, like, why is there so much resistance? A few days ago, Carrie, the worship leader, put on our, we have a Beast Mode Facebook page, so we just post something so we can all see it at the same time. She puts up there just about warfare and resistance in her life and feeling easily angered or easily taking on depression. It almost feels foreign. It's not even yours. And then she says, but I know that I'm leading worship twice this week. I know there's a conference coming. So something is happening. It's just interesting because, you know, yesterday was Wednesday, so I don't get to sit in and hear whatever everything is like, oh, so good. Like, that's cool. It was good back there, too. You know, so sometimes I'm not exactly connected naturally with everything that's happening in the front. And then this morning I wake up and I'm like, okay, cool. This is going to be so much better today because I'm speaking, right? You know, like, you got to be better. I got to float or something. You know, it's got to be incredible. And so, mind you, after all the, what do you call them, getting an ox out of a ditch kind of situations from yesterday, I get home at about 12:45, decompress by waking Noelle up and telling her about my whole day. Like, oh my gosh, check this out. So, and for those of you who don't know, Noelle is pregnant. So if there's an opportunity to be awake, she's like, well, I'm just going to eat while you talk. I'm like, yes, yes. I really just didn't want to eat by myself. So, you know, so I decompress by just sharing and just releasing everything so I don't have to own it. And then, you know, I eat. And by the time I go to sleep, it's like 2 a.m. So there's a lot to talk about in one day, I guess, you know, I don't know, between bites of food. I didn't even tell a joke. All right. So then 2 a.m, and then my boys have to go to school. So I got to wake up at 6 a.m. So 4 hours of sleep. And then if I don't get up at 6 a.m, who's going to get them dressed? You know, Noelle actually has to go to work, whatever. So I have to get up at 6 a.m. And I'm like, no, this is cool. This is fine. I actually popped up. I'm like, this is going to be so great. I'm thinking about 1,000 scriptures. And then I get this pain in my jaw. Not in my tooth, that I would understand that. Like, oh my gosh, a pain in my tooth, in my jaw. Like, did I get punched? No. Did I fall during some stupid dance move that I was trying? Nope, nope. I would remember falling on my face. No, that's not, you know, that's not it. I have a memory foam mattress. That conforms to you. That can't be it. And I'm like, okay, go away. So drop them off at Peter Michael off at school. Starts to get worse. It's getting bigger. Like, I can't open my mouth. I'm like, ha, 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 I see you. You don't want me to speak. So you don't want me to open my mouth. I'm going to do it anyway. So I'm just talking. It's not like I'm making some super spiritual declaration. I'm just talking. I see you. But I'm going to talk anyway. So whatever you choose to do, you could try to make my jaw fall off of my face. I'm going to speak the word of God tonight. Whatever you want to do. I don't really care because I'm not going to fight you. You ever had somebody who wants to fight so bad, but you won't fight with them? And you just keep going and you just like ignore them. Like, I don't really, what you're saying doesn't really affect me. It doesn't really matter. If you guys have younger brothers or sisters, you know, like, do you hear something? I don't know. It sounds like a bug in my ear. I just, you know, they're just getting just more angry, and they're just trying to do things worse. I'm like, I don't know. Just something is really stupid around here. And like, you have that. And that was kind of like almost the dialogue I was having with the devil this morning. Was like, you could do whatever you want. I don't really care because I know what I'm called to do, and I'm going to go do it. You're not going to affect who I am. You're not going to change my identity or my purpose. You can't take any character away from me. So I'm just going to get this thing done. So I ice my face, looking at the time like, dang, Becky's speaking right now. Man, I had it all planned out. I had it all planned out. Well, I don't know what Becky was speaking on, but I already knew what I was going to receive. Like, I was like, I got this planned out. Becky's going to speak at 10, and Becky is fire. She's going to go in, because she does that sometimes, you know? Like, sometimes she's really polite and does, like, a really polite word, and then other times she just starts to declare, and whoever's on the drum, she's like, play the drums louder, and she's like, ah! And it's like, I don't know what's happening, you know? That's what I was, that was my expectation. I'm going to receive from this situation. Oh, man, it's going to be great at 10 in the morning. Woo! And then 2, oh, it's going to be so great at 2 o'clock because DeLynn and Karen, oh, they don't mess around. They go in. They don't know how to speak inside voices. Not an option. The Holy Spirit is not an inside voice. Like, something happens, there's a transition because, like, he speaks in a still, small voice, but they don't share it that way. He's like, guess what? Guess what? I just want to pray for you in the name of Jesus, my babies. Like, yes! I was ready to be in line for the my babies, you know, like, in the name of Jesus, my baby. That's DeLynn, not Karen. Karen doesn't talk like that. I was in line in my head last night. I'm like, okay, 10 o'clock, I'm going to be filled up. 2 p.m., oh my gosh, it's just going to be an impartation. 4 o'clock, yes. Here's where we enter into the Spirit of God as a unit. Oh, man, it's just going to be incredible. I'm like this the whole day. This is stupid. This is stupid. Honestly, it's almost gone. It doesn't even matter. The thing is, you have a purpose. We have a purpose. Not like, you know, you say, oh, I have a purpose, or I have a dream or a hope. And it's so far down. Like, by the time I'm 76, I'm going to, like, cut that out. No. You have a purpose for this day, today. Today is purposed. Before it was created, God already thought about today. And he put time into creating it. It wasn't like, well, I'll just, you know, wind it up and just let it go. We'll see what happens. Blobs turn into guppies and guppies turn into people. Like, what the heck? What? Word? Guppies turn into people? Oh, no, monkeys. Really? Tell the people who can't climb trees that they used to be monkeys. Anyway. Just saying, like, what the heck? Sorry. Nothing. This is like the warm-up. I don't know. Eventually, I'm going to get kicked off. I'll get kicked off. Sometimes I can tell you, speaking to this congregation, sometimes it's like, what's his name? Matthias? Is that his name? Matthias? Matthias, thank you. 2 T's and an H. I'm like, what do you do with that extra one? I don't know. So I'll just call you Matthew if there's 1 T and an H. I know what to do with that. All right. Matthias, yeah. So he was the disciple that came and, like, replaced the other guy. Like, don't talk about that guy. Let's just replace him, right? So then it's almost like stepping in with the rest of the disciples who've been walking forever. And have had their experience with Jesus and their, and not that you haven't, but then it's like, oh, yeah, go talk. Yeah, go give a word to Luke. Yeah, he's a doctor. He already knows everything. But go ahead and give him a word. I'm like, all right. It's just not that it's fully intimidating, but it's almost like sometimes I just think, why do I come up here to try to educate you? I'm not going to educate you. Most of you guys are already educated in the Word of God. You can pull up scriptures, and I'm like, Word? I didn't even know that was a book. You know, I'm like, what? Imaginations 3:6, what? What Bible is that? That's that nearly inspired version? Oh, okay. Sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me. My parents never figured it out. They just let me go. So there's a lot I've been kind of talking to the teenagers about, and there's this move that God is moving us in. It has a lot to do with love. It has a lot to do with connection to each other. So what I was telling them last night, as a leader, sometimes you have to weigh the room. Sometimes you have to gauge what is happening in the spirit in the room, because you have to make a decision for the room. Somebody's grinding coffee or something, I don't know. And faxing something. Like, what? It's 2014. What are you faxing? Somebody's signing on to AOL right now. It's cool. But sometimes I'm in worship and I feel like, why would I even stop worshiping right now to speak? Do you feel what is happening in this room? Like, oh my gosh, there's fire. The Holy Spirit is fire right now. And sometimes you have to weigh the room and go, everybody's in there. I'm gonna just let it go. Let's just worship. Because nobody even knows what time it is. They don't even know what city they're in right now. They're worshiping so intensely with their God. It's beautiful. And other days you have it's not to say that, oh, we stopped because of you. You know, it's not that. Like, you didn't harmonize well. You know, like, more than that, it's as a leader, you have to gauge the room and go, well, let me pull this back to make sure that everyone leaves here with something. Sometimes you're in a really hard place in your life, and it's difficult to worship. It's difficult to read the words and have them mean something from you. Sometimes it's difficult when you're in a difficult place to go, man, I'm just going to read my Bible. You've been there, and you're like, termites are eating my house, and I'm just trying to read the Bible and be educated about Jesus right now. And I'm like, I can't focus. Things are falling apart. I'm talking silly, but I mean things are falling apart in your life. And you go, I'm just going to get educated right now. You don't want to be educated. You don't want to be taught. Like, don't teach me in the middle of my chaos, please. Sometimes that is the case, which is awesome that we can come in the presence of God. Someone else is worshiping on your behalf. I want you to know that. And if you're not worshiping for everyone around you, start doing it. Whether they're worshiping or not, bring an offering, bring a sacrifice to God for the entire room. God, this is for all of us. Because maybe they're not in the place to come to you with their whole heart. I am. This is for everyone. I sacrifice my life for them right now. I'm going to worship. I'm going to show you your worth, even if they can't show you their. You're so important in all of our lives. So last night I get up there and I'm like, I'm going to give a word just because I am gauging the spirit in the room and not everyone is all the way in, which is okay. But I just want to make sure that you don't leave feeling left out. I want to invest. So it's just important for you. You know, the Bible says to test the spirits. It's not always like, oh, let me take your temperature. Do you have a demon? It's not. You know, people do that. People quote the scripture. Ooh, test the spirits. Let me check you out. You know, like, and then they hit you with oil. Like, I don't like the way that oil set on your face. No. The heck just happened? Test the spirits really fits in everywhere in your life. You walk into a room, test the spirits. You're driving on the freeway, you move from one city to another city, test the spirits. You say, hi, my name is Petey. If you do that, that's weird, so don't say your name is Petey. But you introduce yourself, test the spirits. Somebody gives you advice or good news or information, test the spirits. Can I pray for you? No. Just saying, no. Send me an email. I'll see if I agree with it, and I'll pray for myself. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But seriously, test the spirits about everything and come into the room and test the spirit. When the Holy Spirit's in here, acknowledge him. Woo! I see you. Thank you. Yes. And just be in a place of thanksgiving for everyone else who kept pulling on the Holy Spirit to be here. I show up fashionably late all the time. Fashionably. You know what I'm saying? Because the shoes match the shirt. Somebody before me was in here praying in heaven. That's what they were doing. Why should I not acknowledge the fact that somebody is putting in work? Camarillo is a different place because somebody's been tilling the soil. It's a lot easier to worship in this building, in this room, in this city, because some people are doing prayer walks and everything, things you couldn't even imagine, because some of us were not even a part of this service or this church or this city years ago. It's a lot easier to worship here because somebody put in that work to say, God, I am, you know how they land on the moon and put the flag down? This is foreign territory. I'm going to just step right here. I'm going to put this flag down. And then I'm going to start to build in your name. I'm going to start to build in your name. And 30 years later, we go, ooh, this is a nice little community. I'm going to just come in. Like, no, recognize what's happening right now. That work has been invested and put in. And it's not, you know, again, I don't want it to make, you know, be like, oh my gosh, we're not worthy. You know, like, it's not that, but just acknowledge, you know. Honor, give respect where it's due. Most times we see things happen in the natural and then afterward it happens in the spiritual. So it's a lot of times this happens. Sometimes, I'm not making a law of this. So like, oh, I saw something in the spiritual first. Like, okay, cool. A lot of times I see things in the natural and then it happens in the spiritual. So it's almost a preparation. Sometimes we're so focused on what we see with our eyes that it's easier to get your attention with your physical, visual, and you go, hmm. And then you think spiritual, like, oh my gosh, the spirit world is copying us. You know, like, sometimes God needs to put things in front of you to go, here. This is what's happening, but I already knew it was going to happen, and we've already prepared. I just need you to be on board, so I'm going to let it happen in the natural first, and then in the spirit, so you can be on board, so you know what's coming, yeah? There's a recession. So I'm going to try to say this better than I said the other day. I said it, and it was all, like, jumbled, and then Pastor Steve said it. I'm like, yeah, see? Yeah, that. What? I need a button down with a short sleeves. That's why, look, just trying to get that anointing. The things that happen in the natural, there's a recession, or there was a recession. Call it what you want. I don't know. Receding means to pull back. Like, boop, yeah. It was an elephant in the room. Somebody was receding. I just wanted to get it out there so you can move on. It means to pull back, right? Yes, sir. All right. So to pull back, sometimes when things get pulled back, it's like the value was everywhere before. And you almost take it for granted because it's everywhere. When it starts to get pulled back, you're like, wait a minute. Now things that had value don't have value. So the value is all the way over there. What do I do? sometimes it's time to change the position that you're in. I'm talking natural and spiritual. Put down your title. You might need to get a new title. You might have been operating as a, I don't care, it doesn't even matter. You could be a prophet. Sometimes the season is different, and the recession has pulled things back, and you're going, why is nobody listening to my prophecies? Maybe because there's no value in what you're saying right now, or there's no value in, I'm not trying to put anybody down. I'm saying put your title down. Put your position down and go, God, where am I needed now? Where am I going to be invested into now? Where will I be most effective? Where do you want me? It's like David. David was a sheep boy. And then thinks a sheep boy, yeah. A shepherd, I know, but I just wanted to drive it home. Like, he was a little kid, you know what I mean? Like, he's a little kid. So if I say shepherd, sometimes people take, like, ooh, a shepherd. No. That was like the dirty job. That's why you give it to the youngest, you know? Like, oh, yeah. Go mess with the sheep, dude. We're going to do something amazing over here. You go do that. You know? I know how it is. I have an older brother. No, I'm serious. They go like this. Oh, man, you're the best at putting together that VCR. Man, you're so good at that. Like, you just don't feel like climbing under the TV and doing, I got it. You're giving us the bad job, you know. He's a sheep boy. Seasons changed. Values are different now. And what is most valuable is someone who will stand against the enemy and not back down. That's the most valuable thing. Not even the most valuable is not the guy with the sword. It's not the guy with the cool armor. Here's the most valuable thing. So put down your shepherd position and take on, all of a sudden, you know what? I guess I'm a warrior. I don't know. This needs to be done. What happened after that? Receding, pull back. Warriors are not valuable if you're not in war. If David sat there, I'm the warrior. That's cool. Can you go mess with those sheep? Because what's happening? Go away. We don't need a warrior. The value is different. And all of a sudden, you know what's a value? Worshippers. Oh, man. We really just need... I'm having demonic dreams, and I need worship music played so my demonic dreams will go away. And I'm amazing. Did I tell you I was the king? Yeah, so I could probably pay you. You know, that's all of a sudden, that's the most valuable thing in the kingdom. Oh, okay. I worship too. I'll be over here. What was David's title? Yes. Yeah, it's anything. Anything, sure. Yeah. Which is why he made a great leader. It's time to lead. Cool. I'll do it. Don't forget, write me some songs. Cool, yeah, got it. Whatever you want. Sometimes it's time to change our positions. Recession does not need to be a scary thing, spiritual or natural. Value is still, something is still valuable. God, where do you want me? Place me in the midst of value because you are value. Put me there and I'll function however you want me to function. So be ready to change. I just, what time am I supposed to end? All right, cool. I'm not going anywhere. I'm feeling great now. Yep. Got a lot to say now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. I didn't even have caffeine. It's just natural. I'm telling you. My parents, they gave up trying to fix me. Oh, they're right there. It's a lot of this over there. Yeah. That's what happens in my whole life. This is just... Since I'm a transition to this other piece, I might as well tell a joke real quick because this is, yeah, you don't have to write this down. I told you yesterday. Yeah. So I told Candace too. She's already laughing since yesterday. So I'm sitting at the table with my dad. And this is what we do. We just drink tea and come up with randomness. So this is a joke came out of this. I'm blaming this on you, right? Just in case it doesn't work. You can go see that guy. All right. So the rapture is happening. This is how the conversation started. I'm going to spoil it. So because Pastor Steve already told me a couple conferences ago that I could not do this. So it was like one of the first conferences that I was a part of. And, you know, Pastor Steve had asked me to speak. And he kind of comes and like, okay, so what are you going to talk about? And I was like, Pastor Steve. So I was thinking, when everybody gets in here, we're going to put your clothes right here. Cammie's clothes, we'll put Becky's clothes right there, put Larry's clothes. So when they walk in, they'll think it's the end times, the rapture happened, right? It's gonna freak you out, you know? Like, oh, you weren't ready? Oh, yeah, uh-huh, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Pastor Steve gave me this, like, smallest half smirk. Like, I think it's funny, but we're not going to do that. You know, he's like, no, we're not going to do that. It was just the smallest little, like, no, nah. So my dad asked me the other day, so what are you talking about at the conference? So that sparked, like, oh, yeah, end times, the rapture, we're going to leave clothes. You know, so we're laughing about that. And then I don't know who came up with this. It doesn't matter. So the rapture is happening, right? And Jesus is coming down. He's like, oh, the rapture's here. I'm coming to get you. Come with me. Okay, come with me. Come with me. And we all know our Zen Buddha aura people, like, because welcome to Southern California. Everybody's vibes and auras are just chilling, you know. So the rapture's here, and Jesus is like, come with me. And this guy comes and goes, namaste. Just let it sink in. Yeah. No? Oh. You got it? Yeah. It doesn't matter. All right. So it was a bad joke. Oh, on this half, it was a good joke. This half over here is like so spiritual. All right. Like, I never left the church. Cool. All right. Next time I'm locking up, I'm calling the police then. Namaste. It's like the Buddhist Zen people. It's really anybody in yoga pants. It's going to say, you know, yoga pants and a tattoo on the back of their neck. Like, what? It's like the yoga Buddha thing to say. Oh, namaste. Like, shut up. What does that mean? I don't know. Like, but it has an accent on the E. Get the heck out of here. So it's a play on words. It was like, no, I'm going to stay, but it. Right, so, no, I'm gonna stay. Nah, like, got it? Cool. Oh my gosh, so, that was my word for the day. Thank you. No, it's like, Petey's funny, but he doesn't know Jesus. So, a lot of times people will say, you are so funny, like, but you didn't hear the word at all. There was like no. There was scripture, no? I don't know, but you're so silly. It's not going to get you heaven, but okay, pay attention. All right. So it's interesting because sometimes if you just let God be God, sometimes you don't have to say anything. So interesting. This is just a life message about my personal life. Or someone else's life, that maybe you want to pray hard, or maybe you want to pray long, or maybe you want to worship loud. Whatever it is, sometimes you can just let God be God and don't say anything. And he starts to do something in the room. So I was talking about expectation with the youth. We were at the winter camp. It's like when you come into a room, what are you expecting? What's your expectation of God? Just asking. You know, I was just asking because whenever we do any kind of youth event, the last day, God blows up and it gets messy. And I appreciate, because I'm like, I just want to be in the presence of God. And I want you guys to be filled and have your own relationship and your own experience with God. So it doesn't have to be, oh, yeah, my neighbor, yeah, they met God. Like, what? You know. So when we do any kind of youth event, they know. And it's like, I don't have to say anything now. It's just this weird buildup. That's like day two, people start to get itchy. They're like, oh my gosh, it's coming. Oh my gosh, day four is coming. Day three, they're like, ooh, he's a maniac. Like, whatever, you know. You got that? He wasn't filming. It's cool. By the time day four hits, the youth can't even concentrate. They're like, okay. It's just doing random. That's not even an exercise, dude. What is that? You're just ready. Like, you're not working. That's not working anything out. Stop that. You know? By day four, we're at winter camp, and people are just kind of like, who's going to get it first? You? You? They're just looking at each other like, when you're a jet, you're a... You know, like, it's kind of like a stare down. So I just started asking, like, okay, we're going to worship, but what are you expecting? What are you expecting God to do? What are you expecting out of this camp? Like, what? Make it known to God. God, I'm on my way to church. I'm really expecting you to show up. I'm really expecting you to change everyone in this room. You know, God meets expectations. You know when the Bible says write the vision and make it plain? It's not just like God is a God of writing. He wants you to speak it out. He wants you to make it known. Make it known. I'm not saying that God is Santa Claus and you like make a list and check it twice and then he's going to answer everything. No, because in any relationship, you go, hey, I was expecting us to hang out. And you go, oh, no, I can't do that today. But I'll talk to you on the phone. Oh, okay. God can meet you where you are. Sometimes he's going to tell you no because it's a real relationship. Sometimes he's going to say, oh, yeah, that was awesome. That's not what I had planned for us, but we'll do that. Yeah, let's do that. But bring your expectation. So we're talking about expectation. And then, you know, all glory, all heaven breaks loose. And you know, God just comes in the room and just starts really... What I was so excited to see happen is people's expectations being met. And the result of that is the word that God was giving me about embrace. And it was more than just embrace. It was really like connect to each other on such a spiritual level. Connect with each other. Share who you are spiritually with someone else. Don't tell them your life story. I mean, connect with them. So there's a scripture that says, I can't remember where it is now because I don't retain all that chapter and verse as well as some other people. Greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Don't kiss me. Don't. So I'm gonna call the police on you. I'm straight up, you're going to be like, what happened? Petey called the police on me because I tried to kiss him. No. What it's saying is, greet each other intimately. Be real. Not, hey, oh, God bless you. You know, the church tap. Oh, God bless you. Fuck off me, dude. Yeah, the half hug. Yeah, the little side hug. Or like a man, it's a man hug, too. Like, they'll give, yeah. Two touches, not too much, because then that's questionable. You know, like, that's the man American way to hug people is like, hey, what up, dog? Boom, boom. Hey, I'm about to go cut down a tree, do something manly with my beard. You know, like, I'm be very beard-like right now. Back up, you know? But you want to tell somebody, like, I'm really excited to see you. Not too excited. Two taps. With a fist means more. You know? Connect, embrace. Embracing is something completely different. Embracing is to like take someone in. Mean it. Mean it. There's an impartation that will that does need to happen. There's an exchange of the spiritual gifts that needs to happen that is in this room. I'm not saying it needs to happen right this second, but over the course of this weekend, it could be tonight, but the exchange is the embrace. It's not going to happen without the embrace. There are some things that you cannot transfer over to someone else without intimate physical touch. Not a high five is not going to work. A handshake is not going to work. A sit down for 3 hours at Starbucks and tell them what they should do is not going to work. The impartation will come in the exchange, the physical exchange. So God started to show me, as I'm asking about expectation, when you come to church, do you come for yourself? You come expecting God to do something for you, to change you, to have all the answers to all your prayers, to have your experience? Or can you come to church with the expectation, I'm expecting God to show up? It could affect the person next to me so incredible, so beautiful that their lives are going to change. You can come with expectation. You should. We should be operating in love, you know. Not like. God is not like. It doesn't say God is like. It says God is love. So, and I've said this a couple times over the course of the last couple weeks with the kids, like, when the Bible says they'll know each other by the love that we have for one another, they means the world. The world is not in this room. The world doesn't see your double tap church hug. The only way the world sees the love that you have for one another is that you're loving someone outside of this room. You're leaving here and you're saying, hey, let's meet. And somebody says, no, it's okay, I don't really have the money to eat right now. It's okay, I'm gonna pay for you. Let's talk, let's be real. I'm going through a hard time, and all of a sudden they're crying and you're just hugging them in a restaurant. That's how the world knows. That's how the world knows, oh man, I wanna come to this place because it's a family. Because they love all the time when nobody's looking. Nobody's looking, and I'm just investing my everything. And, you know, we talked about vulnerability and the way you can't really love and you can't really receive love without being vulnerable. You have to open up. There's risk involved. You might get hurt. You might show up and give someone your everything. And they're like, what do you think you're doing? I don't want to talk to you. And you're like, oh, how dare you? I open up to you. I'll never do it again. I'm guarded. Never going to love again. I'll like people. Never love. No. Get hurt. Do it again. Get hurt. Do it again. Everybody's been infatuated with someone. It's real life. Sometimes you date. Sometimes you could have even been married. Sometimes you've given your everything and been crushed. And you go, I'm never doing that again. It hurts too much. Really, do it again. Love again and again and again. And if you get crushed, do it again. The title is called Champions of this conference. And one thing God was mentioning to me is that he's the champion. We're not even champions. I just, surprise, spoiler alert. If they're selling like champion material in the back, hope you have a receipt. Sorry, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No receipts. No. We're only champions because he's in our lives. He's a champion and he operates through us. But in order for him to be a champion in your life, you have to let him conquer you. He has to be a champion in your life. He has to conquer you, the good things and the bad things. The things that you're really good at, he has to conquer. Slayed it. Wah! Like, oh my gosh, but you don't understand. I'm the best quilter. Get the heck out of here. I'm like, all right, I'll let quilts in heaven, I guess. But first, you're going to die to that thing. Let me have it. I'm going to conquer it. And then you'll be the best quilter in my name. Then you'll be the best musician in my name. Then you'll be the best mother or husband or seamstress, whatever the heck it is that you are, you're going to be it in my name after I conquer you, but you have to let me. I want to be the champion in your life, but you have to let me. Sometimes we wrestle with God. God, okay, you can have all my broken pieces, obviously, because you made a mistake. You made me so broken, you can have those pieces back. But the, oh, no, I like these pieces. I'm going to keep those. You did a good job there. All right, so you were in your own spirit when you made these pieces. And over here, I didn't like that. Give the whole thing. That's so hard. It's so hard to allow God the good parts. Take it. If I never use it again, it's okay. If you never give it back to me, that's okay. I don't want it anyway. I don't want it if it doesn't have to do with God. Normally, God uses every single talent that you have. Not like you think. But he uses them. You're just having some other expectation. Maybe it's not going to happen like that. If you give it to God, give it to God. He might give it back and say, ooh, use it here. Oh, but God, that's not how I saw it. I want to be a country singer. Like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You could be an incredible singer, and you might never sing again. He might say, I know you are an incredible singer, and I want to use that. Go give that whole thing away to somebody else so that they can be up at on the platform. Yeah. That's good. Well, but God, I'm an incredible singer. I know all the worship songs. I could just do worship. No, I know. But I want you to prep the whole thing, everything that I've created you to be, yeah? Go teach it to them. Yeah. God, what? Then nobody's going to know. Know what? That he did it and you were born this way? It's a gift. When people say, I'm gifted, cool. That means you didn't do anything. God already gave it to you. Be quiet. I'm so gifted. Yeah, gifts, you didn't pay for it. You know what I'm saying? It's awesome when we can live our lives for each other. That's what God is showing me, this entire thing. Your whole life should be for someone else, for everyone else. For everyone else. For the people that you do not know. To connect with someone's spirit, and I talked to them about this last night, and that's part of what I was feeling last night, is like someone else's hurt. Sometimes you just want to weep, cry on someone else's behalf. It's ridiculous how much it hurts. But what you don't pray is, God, I don't want to feel this. Because what that is saying is, God, I don't want to love that person so much that I care so much about what they're going through. Okay, so I do want to love them, but I don't want to know that they have problems. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? When you love somebody, especially when you can't do anything about it, it's hard. You just mourn with them. Mourn with them. And it's exhausting because you're giving your everything. And you're an intercessor, and you take their hurt and their hardship and their lives, and you take it and present it in front of your Father, and you say, oh my gosh, this hurts so bad. Can you take this from me? Because I just took it from them. Whew, that was exhausting. He's like, I know. You want to do it again? I'm like, oh, but I really need some sleep. Sleep, shmeep. Here, right here. Because I already know, you've been loving them for a long time. I just didn't reveal to you everything. Here, boop. And then the Spirit connects you in the Spirit. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, what? Oh, man, I had no idea. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Let's sit and cry together. I don't need to give you all the answers. I don't need to be Job's friends. You know what's wrong with you? I don't need to be that. I'm not that, because we're not going to connect in the natural about this. We're going to connect in the Spirit. We're going to mourn together. I sit with you in your burden, in your hardship, in your weight. But you know what? Maybe I have access to God right now. Maybe it's too hard for you to bring it to God because you want to bring it to God and you bring it to church and you sing the worship song, but it hurts too bad for you to let it go, so you can't bring it before him. So you go, here it is, God. See it? Cool. All right, I'm going to take it with me. All right, I'll be back next week. I'll present it to you again, but you can't have it. But when we connect with each other, we get to sit here and mourn, and you go, don't even worry about it. I'm going to take it. I'll give it to God. Here. That's who we are. That's the expectation. I'll close, I promise. Eventually. I'm just kidding. People are like, oh, I'm leaving. Oh, did you see that shoulder shrug? They saw that on TV? All right. See, I'm just speaking the future. They saw it on TV. That was for Maryland. Second Chronicles 4. The whole thing is about Solomon building up the temple. It's not even his vision or his relationship with God. It's someone else's. God gave the entire thing to David. And David's like, yes, I'm in power. When do you want me to get this thing started? We'll have the ceremony. We'll cut the little with the scissors. Yeah? I'm ready for this. No, I'm gonna have your son do it. Oh, but I wrote all those songs. Damn. It was gonna be like temple / record release party, because I wrote all the gospel. We were gonna tour after. Damn. Well, can you at least throw it in the middle of the Bible so everybody just opens right to that? I feel like reading the word. What? Just gonna start randomly, right? Okay, whatever. Solomon did it. It was not his vision. It was not his. It's not David's either. It was really God's. It's God's vision. If you have any vision, it's not yours. It's God's. You're not in your kingdom. You're in God's kingdom. Surprise. You're like, I'm looking for my crown and my throne. Just keep walking in circles. You're not going to find a thing. You know, this is God's kingdom. This, we are God's kingdom. But God's kingdom, it's his. He possesses us. He owns us. Yes, we have a relationship with him as an individual. We are a body. And we should be moving the kingdom forward. So, the end of 2 Chronicles 4, the temple's done, and I really like the way he set it up. I'm not that gold, gaudy kind of person. I wouldn't want my house like that, but I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of gold, you know. Sunglasses inside, you know. But I like what he was doing. I'm going to take the most valuable thing that I can find because I want people to know. The wall is valuable. The cherubim is valuable. The table. What? We're having ladles? Ladles are valuable. What? It just picks up the fruit punch. I don't care. It's gold. The bowls are valuable. They're all covered in gold. Everything is covered in gold. And what's not is covered in bronze. probably because you get more use out of it. Gold is a little too soft. It's going to fall apart. Everywhere. Let it be known. The most valuable thing I could find on earth cover the whole temple. Just so you know, gold is like one of the most valuable things on earth, yeah? You know we're going to walk on it in heaven? Just shows your value to God. I want you to understand, like, the most valuable thing you can find in heaven, oh yeah, it'll be sidewalks, cool. I mean, valuable thing on earth, you know what I'm saying? Like, 1 Peter says your faith is more valuable than gold. You can operate in your value right now. Have faith in God. That scripture in 1 Peter actually says gold that perishes, which implies that you do not. You don't have to go away. You can keep having faith in God forever. Your value with him is forever. It's 2 Chronicles 5. So if anybody's turning and you're like, I don't see it, it's because all right, no more jokes. I'm trying to get out of here. Let's see. We'll start 13. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one. They're all on the same page, yeah? To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. They didn't have individual sounds. They came as one, with one sound. There were not a collection of people who all had their own sounds at the same time. God only heard one sound. So what that means is some of us don't have the nicest voice. It's all right. The one that's good, God will eat the other one up and take it all together. He receives the whole thing as a sweet-smelling offering. Amen. Oh, but what if I'm not trained? What if I don't know all the scriptures? Worship. You know, take it in as one sound. What if I don't know the words to the worship song? It's okay. God's taking it as one sound. When we're in one accord. When we don't show up like, oh, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm going to get my Jesus. Hey, you guys, hey, be quiet. Just trying to connect with Jesus. Hey, can you stop with the tambourine thing? Jeez. It's me and Jesus right here. It's me and Jesus. Why are you guys in my church? It's me and Jesus right here. You know we're the temple, yeah? You know the person right next to you is the temple? You having a problem finding God? Maybe talk to the person next to you. God resides in them. Could be going like, God, where are you? Stop looking up. You're hurting your neck. I'm right there next to you, jumping out from the person sitting next to you. I live right there. So, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. That's my expectation for this conference. At some point, and I made a joke about it last night, because we're worshiping, and I just said, what would you guys do if I just fell out? I'm supposed to bring the word, you know, the youth. And Carrie goes, we'll probably just keep playing. We just keep playing worship for the whole service. I'm like, oh, okay, that's good. And I immediately thought of like Titanic, you know, like whole ship's going down. The band just keeps playing. Just keep going. Just keep going. I don't know what else is happening, but there's got to be a soundtrack to this, right? It's my expectation for this conference. Somebody, because of us being in one accord, screaming. Your spirit is just screaming out to God. Our spirit is screaming out to God. And somebody who has prepared 3 years for this message gets up here, feels the cloud. They feel the presence of God and go, boop. I hope more than one person tries. I hope Steve, if it's Pastor Steve falling out, cool. That means starts at the head. We have a long way to go to get to me. Pastor Brian will come up. Are you okay? We'll just boop. Yes! Michael and Gabriel are like, they're going to try again. They're going to try again. Watch this. Watch this. I don't know why they don't see the cloud. You don't see the presence of God right there? Watch. They're going to do it again. Here comes Becky. You guys watch this because I'm the prayer Boom. Gabriel, $50. Diana tries to lead worship about it. Watch. I bet you, your halo, that she's going to run up here with a guitar. It's all right. Get the cherubim. We'll protect her when she falls. Bang. Yes! You think when God is receiving their offering, which is their voice, their sound, their spirit in one accord, do you think he's thinking about, well, this whole thing happened. They built the whole temple and they didn't get educated. Do you think being in the presence of God, where pastors, ministers, priests, rabbi, they can't even speak? Oh, man, the presence of God is so good, I can't even say anything. I try, but words stop coming out. You think they care about education? They're just trying to sit in that as long as they can. Whew. Lock in. Let's just stay here. As long as the Holy Spirit will host this whole thing. This is my expectation. I presented my expectation to God. He's allowed to say, no, we're not going to do that. Or, you know what? Maybe that's not what I was planning, but yeah, I'll meet you there. Yeah, let's do that. Good luck, the rest of you speakers. I'm expecting every speaker to come up here who comes up here to do offering, to make an announcement, to say, hey, whose car is beeping? Everybody to get hit with the Holy Spirit. And I sure don't care if it's not me. If it's you, any of you, I'm going to rejoice. Yes, the Holy Spirit is in here and people's lives are being changed. Your experience is my experience. So go get God. So impart God. You don't have to impart God what you have from God on me. Impart with each other. Impart. Give. Be excited about it. Give a testimony. Give everything that you have. You don't have to give it to me. I'm going to celebrate either way. I'm like the teenagers right now, itching. I'm like, ooh, it's day two. What? Put my spiritual headband on. I don't know. When people used to jog a long time ago, they wore little tiny shorts and headbands and like little ankle weights. That was the vision in my head. Now people are like, what? My jogging outfit costs $4,000. Polar bear skin. You know what it does? It reflects the sun. Like, just put the little shorts on with the headband. What? That's how my grandfather ran. Real talk, are they watching? Every day, no shirt, tiniest little, hey, Peter Michael, you want to come run to the beach? To the beach? Mm-mm. I'm gonna watch James Bond. I'll be here when you get back. So I just want you guys to be expectant of the Holy Spirit. He is going to show up over and over and over again when you come into the room, not this room, every room. Just take the spiritual temperature in the room. I'm gonna test the spirits. Oh, Holy Spirit's not here. Holy Spirit, I'm inviting you. Can you come here? I just want to sit with you. Every time. And I hope it doesn't end with this conference. Don't let it end with the conference. Let it begin with the conference. Let this be like a wedding. The wedding is the kickoff party for the entire marriage. The wedding is not really the event. The rest of your life is the event. Let this conference be like the wedding. Woo! Celebration. What? Holy Spirit came in. We're married now. We have a union. You're here every single day. Not you guys as individuals. I mean the Holy Spirit. Don't come every day because I can't get my typing done. You guys are in here. My office is right there. I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh, who's in here? Becky? Because the worship is way loud. She goes in. No joke. Tuesday. I'm like, yeah, nobody's in here. Boom! Worship is, and she's like, you gotta find her. She's laid out in a random location. Could be here, could be in a corner. I'm like, Marco. Sometimes you don't know. Sorry, Becky. Sometimes you don't know because you just hear loud worship music and you don't see anybody. You're like, what? Is that the end times? That's the horn? That's what it's supposed to sound like? I didn't. Sounds a lot like Kim Walker. I don't know. Man, well, I know it's not Richard. Richard doesn't do that. Richard, he's like got his little iPad. I don't know what, he's like playing Angry Birds or something. And he's like, I am such a priest. He comes consistently though. He's always here like praying with his iPad. I'm like, why you always gotta pray with your iPad? It's like straight up checking his Facebook. Like, Richard, we already like you, dude. You don't have to be all on Facebook all the time. My intent was to come here and be serious, but God healed me so then I didn't have to, right? I was just going to give a... I told Pastor Brian last night after all this, like, nutso warfare and just, like, burden. I'm like, you know what I feel like doing? I feel like typing out my word and leaving it on everybody's chair, and I'm going to stay at home. I'm like, this is such a good word. This is for you. Pick it up, read it, then go home. Because I'm at home. I'm tired, you know? I'm excited. I'm excited about you. I'm excited that you're coming with an expectation and that I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm like, yes, 10 in the morning is going to be incredible. I'm going to walk in and get hit with the Spirit. I'm going to walk in fashionably late. I was trying to dress up for you guys and everything. I'm like, man, it's taking so long in the dryer. I'm going to just put this on, whatever. You know, whatever. I'm like, oh, I'm going to present this. I'm going to do this whole thing. Maybe I should go buy a new shirt for them. Like, I don't know. It's for you and for me. It's like a sharing. Yeah, I'll look for tomorrow. I'm not going to be up here. All right, I promise. All right. I don't promise. I don't. God said, let your yes be yes. He could tell me to get up here, and then I'm going to look stupid tomorrow. Like, I said I'm not, and Jesus told me yes. Or, you know. Let's pray. Eight more jokes. I just turned them off. I keep getting texted by jokes. Like, oh, what about this one? All right. Father God, we just adore you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Holy Spirit, just continue to cover us. take over. As much as we'll give you, take over. Some of us are not going to give you everything, and that's okay. Just please meet us where we are, Holy Spirit. And some of us are going to give you everything. Take over. Jesus, you can have it all. You can have it all. Fill us. Replace everything in us with what is you. Take our insides and line them with gold. The way you see us, Lord. Do it, God. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing us. For saying yes to us. For receiving us. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Josiah, can you come up here? I ask, Lord, that you just continue to impart your love on us. That we have so much love that we can just hand it out here. Here, here, here. Lord God, be that over abundant, more than enough, messy, spilling over God that you are, Lord. And fill us with your love. So people get your love from us by accident. Because we're just accidentally loving people. That we have to apologize to people because we're so good. Give us those kind of problems, God. Lord, give us an overabundance. Saturate us so that we can saturate the atmosphere, not just the spiritual atmosphere, Lord God. We want to saturate the natural atmosphere with your love. We want to saturate our homes. Our blocks, our streets, our communities, this city, every city in this surrounding area. Kristen, what city do you live in? Where is she? What city? Santa Clarita. I'm including Santa Clarita because she gets left out sometimes. God, for Kristen, I ask that you just spread your love on Santa Clarita. For Kristen, every single thing that you do, every blessing that you give in this house, let all of Santa Clarita feel it. Let them begin to ask, why is this happening? Why do we have so much favor? Kristen. Why do we have so much favor? I'm just minding my own business. I'm just trying to buy my groceries. Why do I have so much favor? Why do I feel overjoyed with love? Mary. Why do I feel like calling my parents or calling my best friend? Or sharing my testimony, or hugging someone, or buying someone, or just showing them love, or giving them favor because of us, Lord God. Because we want to receive you. God, I thank you for trusting us. Thank you for trusting us with your love and trusting us with your word. Thank you for trusting us with your spirit, God. That you're willing to give us a chance with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, thank you for giving up everything to separate yourself from the Father and from the Holy Spirit and forever be attached to mankind. Thank you. Thank you for attaching to me, for being a part of me. For seeing me where I am and saying, you're fine. Come on. Lord, I just ask that you continue to cover us, God. And that every time there is an adversary, every time there is opposition, we want to give it to you so that you are victorious. Every time there's anything that is resisting us, Lord God, we want to give it to you and say, you be champion, God. Be champion, God. We are champions because you are a champion. We give you all authority and all power. We give away our will to you and say, you can do whatever you want to do. I just ask that you receive our worship and our pouring out, our crying, our love to you, our prayer to you. Receive it as a sacrifice, God. The way here in 2 Chronicles, they were just sacrificing to you. The amount of sacrifice could not even be numbered. They couldn't count the sacrifice. We want to be that, Lord God. That our lives become sacrificial worship to you. That you receive us in that way. Father, I just ask that you begin to stir your spirit inside of us. That the things that have just settled at the bottom that we could easily forget about, begin to stir the pot, God. Those things of substance are swirling again. And if they are for us, Lord, let us receive that from our spirit like it's nutrients, Lord God. Let us our bodies just take it in. If it is in us and it needs to be stirred up because it is not for us, do that, Lord God, and give us the clarity, the vision, the wisdom, the understanding on how to voice that out and how to impart that on who it belongs to, Lord. Show us, God. Show us who we are worshiping for, who we are worshiping with. Show us why you're giving us so much love, because somebody else needs it. Just start to highlight people, God, that some people will glow. Not for everybody else, for the person who has something for that person. Lord God, I just ask that we do not leave here without connecting in the spirit to each other and also connecting to you at the same time. God told me there's a place, an intimate place that you cannot get into his presence without connecting to someone else. Through someone else's love, you're going to get closer to God. Through you loving someone else, you're going to get closer to God. Do it, God. Do it, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord God, I lift the rest of this conference up to you, Lord. You can have it. It is not ours, it is yours, Lord. Take it all. The pieces that are broken and the pieces that are great. You can have it all, God. Take all of us, God. All of it. We give it to you. I just release the burdens. If you are carrying a burden, Father, we give it to you right now. If you are carrying hurt, pain, we give it to you right now, God. If you are holding on to depression, Father, we release depression to you right now, God. You know what to do with it. Fear and anxiety and doubt and worry and a lack of self-worth or self-identity or understanding whose you are and what position you hold. All of that imagery that is a lie in the mind, we release those lies to you, Lord God. Take them, Lord. Reestablish value to us, Lord. Show us what you value. Show us our value. Show us each other's value, Lord. As you begin to pull back in the spirit and rearrange value, Lord God, I ask that we step into our original identity that you created us to be before we even hit the natural earth, before we left the womb, Lord. You created us for a purpose. And if anything has taken us outside of that, whether it be the way we were raised or an experience that we had or hardship or misunderstanding or anything, Lord God, I ask that you reestablish our identity, Lord God. The identity that you created. This world has not formed us. This world has not created us. Father, our identities are in you. Father, I ask that you just pick us up, that you dust us off, that you remove the blemishes. That you wear us because we know that you love us. Wear us around. Kind of competition or any battle at the end when you've won, there is a sound. There is a release of sound that all those that are together, all those that are in one accord, all those that are on the same team, represent the same team, supporting the same team, there is a victorious shout. Have victory in our lives, Lord God, and be champion. And as a testament to your victory in our lives, we shout to you. Ah! You win, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.